Welcome to the Financial Flows Podcast, hosted by Greg and Antonio, who possess over 25 years of combined corporate America's experience and a decade plus of entrepreneurship.
Welcome back to the Financial Flows Podcast, where we discuss everything, wins, losses, all things in between. You heard it all before, but you're going to hear it some more, man. We love being able to bring the information that just speaks to the audience about real life experiences, lessons that we are learning, things that are working and things that are not working. So excited to talk about today's topic. But as usual, you know, I want to check in and make sure that the individual that is hosting this podcast, Antonio, on the other side of that mic, that's hearing my voice, Greg, is able to speak today from a good place because he's good mentally. So how you doing, man? Before we tap into this thing, what's going on? I know April, Easter just passed. You had some little time off. So what's up, man? Tell me about it.
See, we're talking a little bit before we hit the record button. I'm just playing catch up, man. It was a good time. Went to Destin for the weekend. Nine of us. A really good time, man. Normally, I would do like Biloxi. You know, Biloxi had that dirty water. Destin had a nice, clean, white sand. It was a good time, though, man. I just had the opportunity to just do nothing. Like, I literally did not open my computer not one time, which is the gift and the curse. So now I come back, and I'm in 160-something emails I've gotten through today. But that's draining on you, too. You know what I'm saying? But I'm blessed. I'm not complaining at all, man. Just enjoying, trying to catch up now, though. What's up with you?
Man, I don't have all those emails that you just referenced in my inbox. But again, life doesn't stop life in any capacity. There's always something to do, something to be done. But it did feel good to spend a few days just focused on, the people who matter most without a lot of the distractions, if you will.
Yes.
You know, as you're saying, as far as things that you feel like have to be done. So that did feel great. And kids, I was like, bro, why y'all eating so much? We did a crawfish boil this past weekend, so they was able to enjoy seafood the right way, you know, the right way, the cultural way. We also, you know, grilled salmon, chicken, all kind of things like that, and went swimming as well. So it was a good weekend, man. So really enjoy that time, just being able to slow down and reflect in the moment. So that was pretty good, but. Yeah, man, we're good. And I'm excited about some of the things this week. Lots of things going on. Just kicked off a new month, right? When you think about April. And so all is not well in the world as we live it. And so today's episode actually is going to lead into some of that with regards to employment, or dare I say unemployment. And so, man,
I want to read an article to you real quick. I just want to get your opinion. Are you for, against, or indifferent? All right, so this came out yesterday. It said, as of Monday, about 500,000 fast food workers in California are making at least $20 an hour, which is $4 higher than the overall state minimum wage. So are you for, against, or indifferent? That's in California.
Well, the great thing about that question, and this is what I would say to most things, you know, sometimes people say, well, why you don't just go straight forward? Why you got to be deep? You want to be well informed before you answer anything. You want to have some context in any capacity, in my opinion. But the question that you just asked is interesting. Am I for, against, or indifferent? Because it has different weighting. Am I for increased wages so that people can better provide for themselves, take care of themselves and their family, and live a life that they're comfortable with? Absolutely. Do I also understand that wage increase could trigger additional inflation because wages going up, most companies want to figure out how to pass those wages by. So as a result of that, they may hike prices on their goods or services, right? And then the last part that goes into my perspective is understanding that usually when wages go up, companies are a little bit more critical of the employees they hire and the employees they keep. So that also can trigger layoffs. So I'm for some parts, but I'm also against some of the dynamics or the byproducts that it could create.
All right, I'm with you. Because as a business owner, I definitely see that passed on to the end user. So I can only imagine what it will cost for like a Happy Meal out there. I know it's going to be super expensive. It's only so much that the consumers will be willing to take before they cut back on buying, right? It can't absorb all of those costs. So that's a tough one there. It requires some balancing act. And yeah, I'm not in that position, but I'm glad I'm not in that position. But $20 an hour as an employee, just a fast food worker, man, that's tough. That's why I think you're starting to see a lot of the self-checkout stuff, like a lot of the automations to help lower that cost, because that cost is going to be most expensive probably on any business owner's line item for the balance sheet. So yeah, I just want to throw that out there to you because I knew that was fresh. We're talking about, the topic we're about to go into. That's a transition into that.
It is a perfect transition to talk about employment, or dare I say again, unemployment. And we live in a modern society where, employment, the number can seem good relative to previous numbers. You hear we're in an election year, and you hear the president boast a lot, the current president boasts a lot about low unemployment rates, right? And that's, again, great when you think about the number, but unemployment re reflects people. That percentage reflects a group of individuals who are impacted. So the overall unemployment rate in the United States is a little bit under, or should I say, right at 4%, right? It fluctuates, they do recalculations, but we've hovered for almost the last 6 plus months between 3.9 and about 4.1%. Which is a decrease from the prior year, 2022, 2023, right? And as a result of that, there's a lot of communication about how this is positive. And I like that. I don't fully agree because there's factors contributing to this lack of stability that can impact economics and ultimately impact families, man. So that rate is a big rate that seems good. But when you add up the total amount of individuals in the market and then those laid off, it gives you this 4% of those who are out of work, it gives you that 4%. So just starting there, what's your first thoughts as it relates to this topic and that number that I mentioned?
So I don't really follow this at all. And I know you like to call me a stats guy, but I don't follow the rate that often, man, to be honest with you. So I couldn't tell you, is that a good thing, is it a bad thing? From what the people that report this stuff and what they say, it's a good thing because we're keeping it low. And I looked, I did do a little research and I Googled the unemployment history. And I guess in recent years, what it was, 2020, February 2020, I want to say it was, we were at like 15%, which is crazy high. That was during COVID. So of course, if you want to compare it to then, we're doing amazing. But I don't know necessarily what's deemed a good unemployment rate and a bad unemployment rate. Obviously, the lower the better, but in my little research that I did do, a lower rate means what they called it, a overheating economy. I believe that's what it's called. So I really don't, I have no opinion on if it's good or not because I don't have a history to base it off of. I know I did see that in the Great Depression, it was about 25%, 1933, which is ridiculous. One out of every four Americans were unemployed. That's terrible. So I would say in comparison to that kind of stuff, yeah, we're doing amazing. 4% is great. But I know the Federal Reserve has some kind of a role in all of this, and they have to play that balancing act, what it is by keeping prices down and balancing employment. So I don't know. My research showed that even calculating that number could be a little misleading. Like, is it really 3.9, 4%? Like, I don't know. That's the difficult one right there.
Nah, I mean, you bring up some really good points. And, I think if you put it in perspective, I think sometimes it's easy for individuals, and I'm not targeting you, but you were transparent. You say, hey, I don't really follow this. Sometimes the stuff that we don't feel is relative or relevant to us, we don't really dig into or lean into. And I understand that for sure. Having been in retail for over, 11 and a half years, I know that retail is cyclical, aka it's trendy. And those trends are spending trends. Those spending trends reflect people who are consumers. Those consumers are individuals who have to curate income, right? And so unemployment usually has some type of impact on how consumer spends, that economic flywheel. And when you just think about that component, it's left me to stay kind of, tapped in at all times to make sure that I'm aware of what's happening. And if you think about in 2023, approximately 3.5 million individuals were laid off. That reflected some challenges in certain industries and some economic restructuring. And the expected trend for 2024 is that it will be similar or slightly decreasing. And here's the thing that's most interesting. And I don't want to say conspiracy. I will say controversial. I continue to see this number at 4% or below 4%, which is extraordinary. To your point about historical context, it's like, man, that's a great low number in the big scheme of things when you look at years past. The thing that is the most interesting to me, however, is the fact that this number is staying low, even though layoffs are increasing. And you have technology companies, Microsoft, Google, right? Salesforce. Dude, I can go down a list of companies that have laid off hundreds of thousands of individuals. FedEx just announced that it's laying off, I think a week or 2 weeks ago, it's about to lay off, I think more than 20,000 because they lost a contract that they had with the United States Postal Services that is now going to UPS. So they won't need the same amount of labor and workforce. Maybe some of those individuals can transition over to UPS. Maybe they won't. The point is, in every industry, starting with technology, going back to the historical boom of people getting hired and all these companies growing tremendously during a pandemic and thereafter, they're now retracting. And what has come on the horizon of this economic downturn? The increased adoption of artificial intelligence.
Yep, I figure you go there.
Right? And so let's be real. A lot of these companies are like, man, we're investing millions and millions and millions and billions into AI. And they're getting more efficiency, which means they don't need the same level of workforce. Right? Because things are changing. And so I look at all of those variables and I say, man, if these more and more companies adopting AI, more and more companies are laying off individuals as a result of AI restructuring or tough financial times so that they can be more profitable, then how is the unemployment rate still so low? What's your thoughts there?
I agree with you. Again, I can see that how it happens because I know an agent who she used to have an assistant, but she fired an assistant because she started using ChatGPT. And she can get it done more quicker, way less expensive. You know, she's paying $20 a month now instead of paying whatever she was per hour. So, yeah, I use ChatGPT often to help simplify some things that would take me a lot of brain power to sit there and come up with, like maybe some scripts. I had it edit one of my books for me. Like I put the book together and then I went through ChatGPT to edit it for me as opposed to paying an editor to do that. Like, you know how much time I save and money? Time and money. That if you can get those kind of efficiencies on a grand scale, like you're talking about with businesses, if you could do that on a grand scale, the entrepreneur in me or the capitalist in me, like, of course I'm going to do that. It's unfortunate, though, that laying off that many people, you know, that's people's lives, livelihoods, families. But that's why I always preach, like, you have to make yourself so valuable that people would have a difficult time letting you go. Like, you increase those skills.
Come on, unpack. You're cooking. Unpack there. So let's talk through some practicality. You know, we don't like to just do theory. You do say that a lot. Let's walk through some of what that looks like.
So what I'm saying here is, if you're like, give me a job. Give me one of those companies you just mentioned. Microsoft, it doesn't matter. If I was working in any
Amazon,
job.
I'm going to give you Amazon. Do Amazon.
Amazon. If I had a specific task in Amazon, like if I was a person that was creating the labels to put on boxes, for instance. Like, instead of me just putting the labels on the box, I would come up with something outside of just that routine task that's going to differentiate me from everybody else that's putting labels on boxes. So that way, when the time comes where we have to lay people off, I stand out that they need to keep me instead of, because I'm not routine. I'm doing something different. I'm going above and beyond outside of the normal person that's just putting a sticker on the box. That's all I'm saying is I'm differentiating myself to make it harder to fire me. Or to lay me off, I should say. So find a skill, whatever that is, whatever you do, and just make it really difficult for them to want to let you go because you bring that much value to the company. Pretty simple.
So considering that, right, we're looking through this window, if you will, and again, I want to get to that other part. where there's, you know, the unemployment rate, quote unquote, is low, it's down, but people are getting laid off, and you're seeing this disparity kind of grow between, as you mentioned, people like you who may not be aware of what the rate is and people who are feeling it. How do you think this impacts day-to-day economics, day-to-day life, what you may be seeing even in the real estate industry?
So let me backtrack real quick. When I say putting a sticker on a box, like, I know that's machines that do that, so that wouldn't even be a person's job. But how am I seeing it from the real estate perspective, specifically the realtor perspective? I know a lot of people in my industry have gone back to getting quote-unquote normal jobs that pay, that you get a set, you know, every 2 weeks we're getting paid, as opposed to 100% commission, because deals are just harder and harder to come by. I shouldn't say deals, just clients in general, and just sales are more harder to come by. So I'm seeing more of my fellow colleagues go back into the full-time job where they have a set amount of income that they can rely upon. Because with real estate, man, you know, like any 100% commission job, like, you gotta hustle. Otherwise, you ain't gonna eat. It's a tough job. It's not for everybody. That's why a lot of people fail. The last statistic I saw was like 87% of realtors fail in the first 5 years. That's why a lot of 87. Yeah. That's why a lot of like brokers, like myself, for instance, we don't like to take on brand new agents, because we can waste so much time, energy, resources training these folks only for them to quit. So that's why it's really, really difficult to start as a brand new realtor, especially in this market. If you could do it in this market, you're a beast. So 87, that's a lot, bro. 87% of people quit in the first 5 years just because they can't make it. It's 100% commission. You eat what you kill, essentially. So yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Just more people going back into normal, you know, every 2 weeks paychecks kind of jobs.
And you may not know this, but is there any particular field you see them retreating to?
No, nothing in particular. OnlyFans. No, I'm just kidding. Nothing in particular, man. Nope. Just whatever pain at the time, just, you know, to keep the lights on. It's tough out there right now, man. I'm hoping it changes soon. I'm hoping those interest rates start coming down like they're supposed to. We need it, for sure. Or some of those Biden tax plans, things he mentioned, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago. Hope that comes into fruition real soon. It's getting hard out here. But I pulled up one. It's this little cool map I found. You can like hover over the state and it tells you the unemployment by the state. So we're both in Louisiana. Ours is 3.7. So it's more favorable than what they're reporting on a national level. Then there's extremes like Nevada is 5.4. 5.4. Now I can only imagine some of that has to, well, we can't, well, I was going to say Vegas and gaming and stuff like that, but you can't put that on the whole state, just one little market, you know? So I'm not sure, but 3.7 is favorable compared to the national average that you reported earlier, about 3.94, something like that. So I'm really not sure, man. I don't know where the jobs are going, but I know I will figure out a way to increase my skill set so I'm valuable.
Now, you did hit on that, which is interesting. I was looking at some of those, where the lowest unemployment rates are. And you look at Minnesota, which I've, you know, lived in for a couple of years, and that's an area that has always historically had low unemployment. It's at 2.7, so they rank in the top seven in America. But it is interesting to see you have Alabama at 3%, Florida at 3%, Georgia at 3.1, Mississippi 3.1, Tennessee 3.3, and those are a lot of the southern states, which is interesting because it's supposedly more challenging in some of those areas. Now, I'm not trying to look holistically, but it's supposedly more challenging economically when you look at the makeup of individuals in the areas. And so to see that with lower unemployment rates either speaks to one of two things: a very unique job market in those areas, or overarching, a predominant workforce that is not the minority. Because when you look and cross-reference this trend to the statistics with regards to unemployment by ethnicity, right, you see that the unemployment rate for Black or African Americans is about 7.5 to 8%, right? Hispanic and Latino are about 6.5 to 7%. Asians, 4%. And then, you know, America at large. And so it's interesting to think about that component, because this is what also opens up a real conversation with regards to when we look at these numbers, does it reflect everything, everyone, every group as a whole, or is this data skewed when you think about this low unemployment rate? What's your thoughts there?
Way to throw it back on me. While you were talking, I was trying to formulate how should I attack this? Because for one, like with every statistic, you have to take it with a grain of salt. Even a statistic I gave you about 87%, right? Because there has to be a, what is it called, a standard deviation in these statistics, in these numbers that we receive. So what is it 100% accurate? I don't know. Probably not. But where are, like you mentioned, the different races, right? That's a tough one, man. That's really a tough one, Greg. I think you stumped me on this one. Because I was about to go with, you know, we're in the South, the different types of jobs that are available, but I don't even know if that's the right angle to go at this, to be honest with you. So I don't know. I don't have any thoughts on that one.
I mean, but the data itself, what do you think about the data itself when you, because here's the cool thing. We all know people, right? We see different trends. So forget the statistics. What's the eyeball test tell you?
That is higher. That in our, you say African-American, Black are higher than other races. Why is that? I don't know. Does it have something to do with the systematic approach of how everything has been built up until this point? Maybe. Most likely.
Let's go. I mean, okay, hey, I mean, we're going to talk transparently. Why is it? I can't say why exactly, but what I can say is a lot of the jobs that we're talking about, you know, the services, the employment that is tied to tasks that for a while were essential and necessary are being transformed through AI.
Yeah. So the blue collar jobs is what you're saying, essentially.
A lot of them, right? You think about, let's just go way back. You think about Ford in Detroit years ago, right? In the assembly line and the plants and all. Brother, that's automatic. That's autonomous. That's robotic now. Amazon, they're not laying off all those individuals for no reason. They're laying them off because they don't need all the same people to pick, pack, manufacture the way that they did, because they are invested in what? Robotics. Those are real things, right? So anytime you see tech laying off executives, right? Because they're saying, hey, we don't need as many executives because we've invested in new technology that allows us to be more efficient with our systems financially, operationally, et cetera, then of course you're going to see that down to the execution level in the workforce, in my opinion. And most of the individuals who attain those jobs in that space that we're talking about, execution-wise, are minorities.
Yeah, that's why I would never tell somebody not to go get a trade. So I know, like, growing up, that used to be looked down upon. Like, oh, that boy going to be a plumber. Or that he won't go be an AC tech. Like, why would you do that? But those type of people, they stay in business. It's hard to let those people go because they bring money to the bottom line. Like, people always are going to need them. Like, in the Airbnb this past week, the toilet broke. Who had to fix it? A plumber. Like, those people are always going to be in demand. You know what I'm saying? So that's
brother,
why I with my
brother,
kids.
Right now, right. That is a perfect. So, and this is where I wanted us to go. It's that next segment, right? That's a perfect segue to what you mentioned on the job doing certain things, but also how do we make ourselves, and I don't know the correct phrase, so if you're listening, bear with me. How do we make ourselves non-unemployable, maybe, right? Unable to be fired, if you will, which is a very unique thing because you can have a ton of different skills and you can still end up being terminated if the need changes, the market changes, all of those things. In this space, as Antonio's mentioned, a trade is huge because you can work for a company and or you can work for yourself because you have that skill set. I have an issue at an investment property today. Tenant moved in and all of a sudden the AC is not working in two of the rooms. It's pushing to two rooms, the living room, bathrooms, etc., but not going to the back bedrooms. You think I can go do something with that? No, I have to hire somebody. So I'm going through AC guys trying to figure out who's going to get the job.
Yep. So that's you talk about. Man, I was going to mention, like, with schools, college. We talked about this a long time ago, but that's why I'm not going to force my kids on college unless they want to do a STEM degree, you know, science, technology, engineering, math, that kind of thing. If they're doing anything else, man, I don't know about that. I'd rather them go to a trade school or, you know, get some on-the-job training for those 4 years I would have spent thousands of dollars on tuition for, where they can get the necessary skills and 4 years of education to get the leg up on everybody else. Like, I find it tough, man, when people go out there and get those general studies, history, those kind of degrees, and can't find anything to do with it. You just wasted time and energy and money, especially nowadays. You can only imagine what college is going to be, you know, in another 14, 15 years compared to what they are now. They're higher now than they were when we were in college. You know what I'm saying? They were cheap. I thought they were cheap back then. It's expensive now, man. So, yeah, I would never shun anyone from wanting to go to trade school, getting those type of skills that are hard to come by. You can't AI your way out of a AC issue or a plumbing issue, things like that. So that you want to be what you call it? Non-unemployable? However you just called it. You want to be that person? Go get a trade. Go get something that, you know, people definitely need you. They can't replace you easily. Something like that. Some kind of skill. Yeah.
So a lot of our thoughts here, you know, tied to this concept is there's a ton of different reasons, a ton of different things. And we just want to highlight, you know, hey, what does the industry tell us? Some of the industries with the highest unemployment rates, hospitality and tourism. It's also particularly high amongst young people, 18 to 24. Retail, going back to e-commerce, changing economic landscape. It's also being impacted pretty heavily. Manufacturing and construction, going back to real estate. So you have to be able to see the trends, connect the dots together. Construction is one of those because, again, there's fluctuations in housing demand. So then there'll be fluctuations in the demand for those services. So those are a couple of the areas with the highest unemployment rates per industry. And then we also can look at some of the ones with the lowest. Finance and insurance, some of the lowest at 3.8. Professional and business services. Education, right? We always need more teachers. We always need more educators. And then government entities as well. So any thoughts you'd add in that space?
What would you just say for finance? I think you said 3.8. I can see that being replaced to some degree. All you need is to come up with some spreadsheets and, you know, some kind of form where people input the information and it just does everything for you. I don't know. That's kind of low. I would think that could be a little bit higher with AI. That's my thoughts on that one. But you mentioned construction. I've seen some stuff coming up the pipe where, you know, normally you need people sitting in a crane operating it and stuff. I've seen some automated stuff where you just put in a program and it does everything for you. So I could definitely see that coming down the pipeline as well. It's just a matter of time. A lot of these things right here are going to be, man, AI. I know we talk about AI heavy, but it's coming. Like, we think we see it now, man. Just, I can only imagine 10 years from now what it's going to look like and how we're going to, you know, if you embrace it, I think you're going to be able to benefit from it. As long as you just don't run from it. You know, it's here to stay. Nothing you could do about it. Just embrace it. And learn it. You definitely want to learn it so you can utilize it in your business, in your life, whatever. Like, I know I speak from the business standpoint, but I use it in normal day life too. Like, you know, I'm not just using it from the business aspect. I'm using it just in any kind of way that I can get better, more efficient, because I'm a big believer in saving time and maximizing time. So if I could use that to save up thinking space and, you know, shortcut my way to getting the goal done, then I'm going to do it every day, all day.
Love it. I feel the exact same way. I'm trying to maximize the things that you can, but I also try to be conscious of where can we be a resource to intentionally educate, going back to a couple episodes, in schools, in our neighborhoods, in our families, that maybe not today, but can shape some of what we'll see going forward in the future by the awareness that we're able to provide. Because, you know, you want to go, as they say in hockey, go to where the puck is going. So the industry is where the puck is going. The information that's going to be required to help position those who are minorities, those overall, especially those in our communities, to succeed.
Yep. So I think that was a good episode, man. I think you made some great points. You shine some light on a lot of good areas, especially with the unemployment. Because I'm going to be honest with you, that's something I do not follow much at all. I definitely hear it on the news whenever I listen to it or I read an article about it, but I have no baseline for it. So I'm glad you enlightened me with this episode. And it's something that I'm going to look into a little further, I should say. But I appreciate that. Yep. Thank you. Thank you, my brother. Good topic to dissect and discuss. So if you are listening and you have any comments of your own on this topic, want to send it to us, we'd love to hear it. If you have any interest in anything specific, we'd love to hear that as well. Send us your DMs, whatever you may want to talk about. If you want like to come on the show, you feel like you have some value to add, let us know. We are here for all that.
Appreciate y'all. You like, subscribe, follow, do everything that you can to help encourage. Let us know what you think, and we'll be back next week.